We're up to the Mishnah on Chav Ches Amid Beis. The Mishnah records a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. The case is Psilas HaBeged Shekipla V'lo Hivhava. So we're talking about a, shall we say, potential wick, and it's made of an arig, some sort of a garment. We'll see the shear of the garment in a second. And in order to make the wick, what you need is, number one, you have to twist the garment. And number two, yes, you have to put it over a fire. You have to char it, sort of. And then it's much easier to light. So he folded it over, but he hasn't yet charred it. And the question is twofold. Number one, is it Mekabel Tumo? Because as a Beged, it would have been Mekabel Tumo. But as a Psila, it would not be Mekabel Tumo. And the second question is, can you use it for Adlokas Ner Shabbos? So we'll take the first issue, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Tmeahi. We're going to focus on Tmeah. According to the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, although this arig, this piece of cloth, has gimel al gimel etzbos, which means that it certainly has the shear of a beged to be makabel tum, if let's say a sheretz would fall on it. However, are we in the process of transforming this beged into a psila? And that's mafkia the shame beged. And therefore, it's not susceptible to be makabel tuma. Rabbi Eliezer says he hasn't gone too far yet. It still is a beged. It hasn't lost, it's shedded its shame beged. And the reason for this is that all he did was kipla. He did nothing more than folding it. He didn't make any radical, irreversible change, transforming this beged into a psila, because to the same extent that he folded it, he could unfold it. So this is not yet a change. And the shame beged still exists, and therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Tmeah, it's Mekabel Tuma. Now, although he is preparing, he's designating this psila for lighting, but nevertheless, he hasn't yet hivhava, he hasn't yet charred it, singed it. So that Rabbi Eliezer would agree in principle that after hivhava, after the cloth has been charred, not just kipla, that's already an irreversible change, a transformation in terms of the definition of the object. It's no longer a beged, it now is a psila. And that would remove the shame beged. And therefore, it would not be makabel tuma. However, as we said before, in this case, the wick was only folded, it wasn't charred, and therefore it remains a beged and still makabel tuma. Now, why is it that a psila itself is not considered a beged, and it's not makabel tuma? If, let's say, he had made this change, which according to Rabbi Eliezer hasn't done yet, but Lu Yitzur was after Ivhava, it would not be makabel tuma. And the answer is that a cloth is used as something that you wear, or you sew it into the, make a beged, or perhaps you can make a kli out of it, a receptacle out of it. However, a psila is never used as a kli, or as a beged. It's been absolutely designated for burning. And therefore, it's not makabel tuma. It's not a beged, because he doesn't use it on his body. He uses it to hold a flame. And in that sense, it doesn't have that chshivus, if you will, of a beged or a keli that is makabel tumah. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva omer tahorehi umadlikim ba. Rabbi Akiva holds it still retains, I'm sorry, it has transformed, it has changed its status, and is now considered a wick, a psila. And the reason for that is he himself decided that he's going to use it as a wick, and he proved this objectively by folding it. And that in, even though he could retract this state and unfold it, but nevertheless he would have to actively change the state. And therefore the maisa, the act of folding it, is a gili milsa. It really indicates his intention to use this as a wick, and therefore it loses its shein beged, it's not makabel tuma. Now the Gemara says, Bishleim ole inyan tuma b'ha pligi. We understand the machlokas here between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva with regard to tuma. Rabbi Eliezer saw kipul eino moil, ube milse kamaisa kaima. So the folding of this garment does not remove the status of the beged. It still retains its original state of being. It is a beged, and therefore it's makabel tuma. Rabbi Akiva saw kipul moil. Once he folds it, clearly indicating that he has designated it as a wick, it loses its status as a beged. It would be too late batil. We negate its susceptibility to be makabel tuma. What's the machlokes as far as using or not using this psila for Ner Shabbos? And basically, I think the Gemara is asking a question on Rabbi Eliezer. Why would Rabbi Eliezer disqualify this wick for Ner Shabbos? So the Gemara doesn't answer this question immediately, but first, the Gemara introduces another two regulations that would have an impact on this question. Omer Ablaza, Omer Oshiv, Chayn Omer Avadabar Ava Hocha B'Sholosh Al Sholosh Mitzum Tzamos Askinan. What is the size of this cloth? It's mitzum tzomos. It's sholosh al sholosh etzbos, which is the minimum size of a shame beged for kabbalas tumah shrotzim and magav shrotzim. But it's mitzum tzomos. It's precisely exactly sholosh al sholosh. The Mishnah is talking about a cloth that has a shame beged. For example, it's a beged of tzemer, or a beged of pishtan. These were all sugyas we learned back on Daf Chaf Vav, that if it has sholosh al sholosh, it's bos, and it's made of tzemer of pishtan, then it's makabel tuma. Now, in general, and this is on the side, if you want to make a psila for Ner Shabbos, you cannot make it of tzemer, you can only make it of pishtan. And that's a Rambam in the fifth parak of Hilchus Shabbos. Okay, fine. So now we have sholosh al sholosh mitzum tzomos. And that's the minimum size for the shame beged. So we're talking about a beged shel pishtan. It is an arig that has 3x3 etzbos. And what's the issue as far as Ner Shabbos is concerned? V'yom tov shechalios erev Shabbos askinan. When Yontif coincides with Friday, and now he's going to have to light a Ner Shabbos on Yontif. In general, we know that lighting a candle on Yontif is mutter. What's the issue here? And that is the kuli alma islahu d'Rav Yehuda. We have a principle of Rabbi Yehuda. The Yomar, he says, Masikim b'kelim, ein masikim b'shivrei kelim. you're allowed to use a kli as fuel, so you could burn it and enjoy the warmth, the heat, the light, whatever you want to enjoy on Yom Tov. That's in the case of kelim. But what about the case of shivrei kelim? In shivrei kelim, we have breakages, we have the fragments of a kli. Let's assume the kli broke on Yom Tov itself. Then we have a term called mukta, or a category called nolad, which refers to something that emerged as a new entity on Yom Tov itself. The Gemara at the beginning of Masechta Beitza deals with the case of Beitza Shenolda B'Yom Tov and classifies it as mukta, which means you're not allowed to enjoy the benefit of this object that's mukta. So in its present state as Shivrei Kelim, which emerged on Yom Tov, it is nolad. And therefore it comes under mukta, and you are not allowed to benefit from it. Now, in this case of Rabbi Yehuda, when you had a kli that broke on Yom Tov, and it's no longer a keli shalem, a complete whole keli, but rather it's Shivrei Kelim, we're talking about broken pieces, that's something different. It's not the old, shall we say, chefta, the old shem chefta. It's changed its identity. And therefore it's considered nolad, and it's mukta. Now to use these shivrei kelim as firewood, as fuel, Rabbi Yehuda would say, that's also because ein masikim shivrei kelim, it's nolad. And usually you might say that something that you anticipate coming into being, that's not nolad. But here you didn't anticipate a damaged utensil, a broken utensil, and therefore it's mukt, it's nolad. That's number one. So everybody agrees to review this principle of ein masikin shivrei kelim b'yom tov. So that's not the issue. Furthermore, we have a second introduction. With the kuli alma, everybody agrees, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva, with ula. The omar ula hamadlik tzorch shiadlik berov hayotze. Now let's translate that literally. And what it means is that if you light the Shabbos candles, then you have to light with the majority of that psila. Now, what does that mean, the majority of the psila? There's part of the psila that's submerged in the shemen, and there's part that goes above the shemen. And what ula requires is shiyadlik berov hayotze. He says, in the Hebrew translation, lo yisalik yodav me'adloka ad shiyadlik rov chelka shel hapsila yotze ben hashemen. So you have a certain amount of wick that rises above the shemen or the shava, and he's not allowed to just light the tippy end, the top of this wick, and then memela, the rest of the wick will light automatically. He has to actively light rov of the psila. And again, when we talk about the psila, we mean that part of the psila that's above the level of the ner. That's why he writes, "Lo yadlik ma'at v'yismoch al kach shiyamshich lidolik me'elov." That's not enough. That's a kind of a passive hadlaka. We need an active hadlaka. And the reason for this, says the Levush, which I have here in a footnote, is based on the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Kedeshia halav ola yofa miyad kshi yisalek yodo. K'mosha hoya badloka samenorah. In other words, immediately when he pulls his hand away from the wick, it's already a full flame. Immediately. Kedeshiluk yodo. Fine. So everybody accepts ula. And now we get to the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer Savar, Kipul Eino Moil, since Rabbi Eliezer in Hilchas Tumah tells us that when you fold the garment and designate it as a wick, that's not meaningful, that's not valid to undermine and negate the shame beged. It still has a shame beged, and that's why Rabbi Eliezer holds that it is makabel tuma. And now, as we apply that principle to hadlaka, came in the idlik bay purta, the very second that he begins the lighting on yontif, and nechsar mimenu ma'at is havile shever kli. The status of this wick, insofar as part of it is burnt, is the same as shever kli. It no longer has what we call sholosh al sholosh etzbosov, etzbos. So it's batel mitoras beget. V'chikom madlik. Now he has to continue lighting the wick, because that's the nature of the chiv hadlaka. Is b'shever kli kamadlik. What he's lighting now is no longer beget, and therefore it has the status of shever kli. And we said that shever kli is a nolat, and we don't light with shever kli, and that has nothing to do with Ner Shabbos per se, but in general we don't light on Yontif with shever kli because of nolat. And therefore you're not allowed to light a Ner Shabbos with this psila that was folded, because the very second that you instantaneous with your beginning of lighting, it already loses its shame beged, and therefore it has the status of Shivrei Kelim. Rabbi Akiva Sovar Akipul Moil. According to Rabbi Akiva, the reason why this wick that was folded, Psila Shekipla, is not Makabel Tuma, is because you've already negated on the mind its shame beget through Kipul itself. And therefore, Ein Toras Kli Olav. If there's no Taurus Kli, then at this minute, what we have here is a wick that's Omed Lad Loka. V'chi Kamadlik, B'eitz B'alma Kamadlik. He's lighting with a piece of wood, and that piece of wood is not Mukta. He's lighting a stick of wood. In other words, even before he starts lighting the wick, it's already considered Shivrei Kelim. The Beged is not transformed into Shivrei Kelim on Yontif. It's not Nolat. Why? Because the very moment that he did the Kippel, which let's say he did on Erev Yontif, he was already Mevatel Toras Kli. And now, if you ask me, going into Yontif after the Kippul, what is the designation of this object? It's designated for firewood. And therefore, it's not Nolat. And you might say that the folding itself would render the cloth Nolat, but that took place on Erev Yontif. You're not allowed to twist wicks on Yontif because of, shall we say, Tikkun Moneh, or let's call it Makab Patish. So at this point, Omar Rav Yosef quotes a brisa which seems to support this analysis. The Hainu de Tanino, that's what we learned in a brisa. Sholosh al Sholosh, which means Etzbos Mitzum Tzomos. And until now, Yolo Yadanamai Hilchasa, I didn't understand this brisa, why the brisa had to qualify our mission as referring to Sholosh al Sholosh Mitzum Tzomos. I was, so to speak, confused about that, because as far as Kabbalah's Tumah is concerned, on the contrary, if it's not Mitzum Tzomos, then for sure it's Mekabel Tumah. But now he says, I begin to understand that the meaning of our Mishnah in the light of this brisa is that we're talking dafka about a shear of mitzumtzum, of precisely 3 by 3 etzbos. And that's the measure of this piece of cloth. And what Rav Yosef is trying to teach us through this brisa, that the cloth mentioned in our mission is precisely Gimel Gimel Atzpos. And the answer now becomes crystal clear, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, the reason why you can't use this ner on Yontif to light it as a Shabbos candle is because it's exactly 3x3 etzbos. It has the minimum shear of a beged, and immediately when you start to light it, the first second of lighting, it loses its shame beged, and it takes on the status of Shivrei Kelim, Muktzah, and Nola. The Gemara now says the following: Umi the commentary to Rav Ada Bar Ava, Liba the Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Ada Bar Ava has placed this machlokes in the perspective of Rabbi Yehuda, meaning the Rabbi Yehuda says that Shivrei Kelim is osur on Yontif because of Nolad. Shma Minokin Rabbi Yehuda Svirle. We should derive from this that Rav Ada Bar Ava accepted the principle of Rabbi Yehuda. So now the Gemara is bothered by this from another statement of Rav Ada Bar Ava. Contradiction. Mi Omar Rav Ada Bar Ava Hochi Va Omar Rav Ada Bar Ava. And here we're turning to Daf Chavtes Amid Aleph. Let me just turn the page, sorry. Nachri Shechokak Kav Bibakas Yisrael Masikin Ba Biyantif. Now the word Kav is a midah, a volume of Yavesh, of dried stuff. And it's a volume, as we said. Now, the size of this kli that is called bivakas is a kav. So what happens is a non-Jew carves a kav from a piece of wood on Yontif. Now, you and I would have said that if he wants to use this kli on Yontif to burn it, it should be osur, because it should be nolad. And yet, Rav Ada Bar Ava is recorded as saying that it's not nolad. So Gemara asks, Amai nolad hu, since this, we'll call it a kav, is created on Yontif. Before it was a piece of wood, now it's a kli. It should be also betiltil, it should be also banor. Certainly you should not be allowed to use it as fuel. So how did Rav Ada Bar Ava say that, and at the same time he accepted the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda of nolad on Yontif? And the Gemara answers, l'divrayim to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva Ka'amarle, Valelo Svirle. Rav Ada was only quoting Rabbi Yehuda because, in the light of Rabbi Yehuda, we could understand the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, about the case of a psila shekipla, and Rabbi Eliezer excluded it for lighting on Yontif because it was nolad. So that's according to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, but Rav Ada Bar Ava himself never accepted it, and he himself was of the opinion that there's no Isur Nola. That's how Rashi seems to interpret it. Let's just add 2 points here. Rabbi Yehuda's Shita of Nolad and Yontif is disputed by Rav Shimon at the beginning of Masechta Beitza. Rav Ada actually is mati use of this Kav because instead of accepting Rabbi Yehuda, he accepted Rav Shimon. That's point number one. Point number two is that it would seem from the Lashon HaGemara, and the Marshal has this as a girsa issue, as an issue of girsa, that the kav here that was carved out by the guy was in the bikas, was owned, the bakas I should call it, was owned by the guy himself. And the reason for that is because if it was owned by a Jew, then we have a principle called Ein Adam Oser Dover Sheina Shalo. And since everything here depends upon the action of the guy on the Cheftza that's owned by the Israel, it would not generate an Issa Nolad according to anyone unless it was the Bekas of a guy. Now, getting back to our Mishnah, the Machlokas Shin Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, as far as Tuma, as far as Hadlokas Ner Shabbos, we interpreted it based on the explanation of Rabbi Adabar Ava in that light, but Rava is going to present an entirely different approach to explain our Machlokas. Rava Rahaini Taimid Rabbi Eliezer, the logic of Rabbi Eliezer is based on a principle called Lefisha Ein Madlikim B'Psila She'ein Mechoreches. If you haven't charred the wick, it's not going to hold the flame properly, and hence Rabbi Eliezer disqualifies Kipla V'lo Ithava for Ner Shabbos. And if that be the case, we no longer need this Ukimta of Rav Ada that we're talking about, Yontif that fell on Shabbos. Another couple of wicks that are excluded according to Rabbi Eliezer, says Rava, would be lo bi smartutin she'ena mechorochin, which are shmatas, the rags that were not charred, and none of this lights properly, and therefore it's excluded as one of those wicks that we learned about earlier in this chapter, that are not suitable for Ner Shabbos. They don't hold a flame well. And the question is going to be, as we go along, what is Rabbi Akiva's Shita? And the Gemara now asks the following kasha on Rava. Elohad Tani Rav Yosef, we had a brice of Rav Yosef. And Rav Yosef brought this as support earlier, that Sholosh HaSholosh Mitzumtzomos, and we thought it meant that our Mishnah is talking about a cloth. That is exactly Sholosh HaSholosh is Lamai Hilchasa. It cannot be referring to our Mishnah, because according to Rava, our Mishnah would not change one way or the other depending upon the size of this garment. You know, we're not talking about whether or not it has a shame beged or it doesn't have a shame beged. It's all a question of a non-function. I don't know what word to use here. A wick that is not a functional wick. It doesn't serve the purpose. It's not suitable. As we said before, it doesn't hold the shalheves well. So what does this have to do with the size of the beged of the orig? So my answer is linyan tuma. This brisa is commenting on a different mishnah, a mishnah at the end of Masechet Kelim, with regard to Kabbalah's tuma. And the Mishnah says, Shalosh al Shalosh Amru Chutz Min Hamalol Divrei Rabbi Shimon. So the Mishnah opens with the view of Rabbi Shimon that when we talk about the minimum size of an Orig for Kabbalah's Tuma, Gimel Gimel Etzbosov, then you have to add to Gimel Gimel the amount that you need to sew a hem. That's malol, is what we call in English a hem. You have to sew a hem on all sides, because if the piece of cloth is as small as gimel gimel etzbosov, then in order to be considered a beged chashuv, for example, you could use it as as a covering over a rip in your garment, you're going to see what do we call it, a patch, then it's something that you don't throw out. It has a function, but a chayat will first sew a hem around the patch before he uses it. Otherwise, the patch is going to start falling apart. Rav Shimon therefore holds that in order for this arig, this piece of cloth, to be makabel tuma and have a shem beged, it's got to be more than just gimel atzbaos mitzumtzamos, because you have to leave extra space for the malal, for the hem. And Chachamim Omrim Shalos Michuvanos. Michuvanos is another word for Mitzumtzamos. It means it's enough that the Arig is 3x3 Etzbos Mitzumtzamos, and that's the exact precise size of a minimum Beged, Shem Beged for Kabbalah's Tumah. And this Brisa of Rav Yosef reflects the Shita of the Chachamim, who say that Gimel al Gimel Etzbos Mitzumtzamos is sufficient, and you don't have to add a certain, volume or an entity of cloth that would be beyond Shalosh Shalosh for the sake of a hem. That's not required. So this Braisa is really attached to a Mishnah in Kalim, and is discussing the Shem Arig for Kabbalah's Tumah. And it really has nothing to do with our Mishnah, which is discussing a different issue entirely, and namely whether or not this kind of a wick made of a cloth that has not been charred, whether it folded over but hadn't been charred, when that is kosher for Adloka. Now earlier the Gemara had quoted Rabbi Yehuda regarding Nolat. And now the Gemara is going to take Rabbi Yehuda one step further. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Ein masikin eish biyonte b'shivrei kelim shenishbru bo biyom." So this keli broke on this day, and according to both Rav Ada bar Ava and Rava, both the Tanoim in our Mishnah agree to the principle of Rabbi Yehuda. Om Rabbi Yehuda marav masikin b'kelim. You can use a complete kli, which is mukhan, it's not mukhtza, and it's royal etaltel. You're allowed to move it from place to place for any purpose that you want to, and therefore you could put it under or on top of the fire and use it as firewood, as fuel. But v'ein masikim b'shivrei kelim divrei Rabbi Yehuda, once the kli breaks, then it has the status of nolad, and it's mukhtza, and you can't use it as fuel. Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon has no problem with Nolat. That's one machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Now we have another machlokas. Masikin Bitmarim. You're allowed to use a foodstuff, in this case dates, as fuel. Masikin Bitmarim. And although usually you don't anticipate when you go into Shabbos or Yontif that you're going to use dates as fuel, but nevertheless, since it has no Issa Tiltil, because it was Muchan Le'ochel, then you're allowed to use it for any other purpose whatsoever. And here you want to use it for fuel. So once it's Mutter B'Tiltil, then it's Mutter B'Hasaka, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda's case of Shivei Kalim, which is Nolat and Mukta, where there's no Het to Tiltil, therefore you can't use it as fuel. Then the statement of Rav goes on, and Rav says, Acholon ein masikim bigari nehem. However, here's the limitation. You ate the dates, you're left with pits, and apparently these pits could also be used as fuel, but that's called nolad, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. And based on the statement of Rabbi Yehuda, the pits themselves are considered nolad. And it means that these garidim, these pits, were not omed. Just one second. We're not omed las, are only omed las soka. And before he ate the dates, this was an ochel. And therefore, the pits, which is something for a soka, is a brand new creation, so to speak. I mean, there's an entire discussion here in the name of the Rush, whether or not the pits are not Roy LeMichael Behema. Later on, we're going to have a story of Rav that he took these pits and he fed them to his behemos. But nevertheless, on Erev Yontif, going into Yontif, the pits were connected to the dates. They were, shall we say, secondary to the dates. And that's called Tafel Yochel. And that means it's part of the Ochel. And therefore, it's Royal Achilles Adam. Now, all of a sudden, it's no longer Royal Achilles Adam. It's only Royal Achilles Behema. You can only feed these pits to an animal. That's called Nolad, which is also according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Matir, he will allow you to use these pits as fuel, because once again, that's just an application of the rule of Rabbi Shimon that Nolad is Mutter. Now, when we say Nolad is Mutter, according to Rabbi Shimon, we're not talking about something that's completely Nolad, that didn't exist in the world, but rather it changed its state. And it emerged as a new state, and that doesn't bother Rabbi Shimon. So these Garinim existed before Yontif, and therefore there's no din of Nolad. That's Rabbi Shimon. Now we have a third Machlokas here, that's quoted by Rav, and that is Masikin Be'egozim. That you're allowed to use walnuts as fuel on Yontif. However, the statement of Rav qualifies this. And he says, Ein masikin bikliposehem. It means once he eats the nuts and he's left with the shells of the nuts, and the shells can be used as fuel, but no, that's called Nolad, just like the Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, just like the case of the pits of the dates. Rabbi Shimon Matir, again, Rabbi Shimon will allow you to use the shells and nuts as fuel because Rabbi Shimon have accepted Rabbi Yehuda as far as the Isur Nolad is concerned. And now the Gemara wants to analyze why Rav had to tell me three different cases, all of which depend upon this same identical Machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon regarding Nolad, Utzricha. And we needed Rav to tell me this, each one of these chidushim. Again, when I say Rav, it's really Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav. So, but you can call it Rabbi Yehuda, call it Rav, whichever way you prefer. Utzricha. De'iashmin and kamaisa. If we only had the first machlokas in the case of Shivrei Kalim, I would have said, Hahi ka'am Rabbi Yehuda. There Rabbi Yehuda says it's nolad mishum demei kara. From the get-go, before it was broken, kli, it had one identity. It was a utensil. The hashda now, after it breaks, is shever kli, it's a new entity. Vahavi le nolad, it no longer functions in the same way that it originally was meant to function, and therefore it's also, it's muktza. Aval tmarim, in the case of the pits of tmarim, a kara, even before he ate the pits, these garinim existed in the world. Vahashta, but now they take on a new status, right? They're no longer part of the ochel. Garinim. Well, it was garinim to begin with. Yeah, I didn't have to be a rocket scientist to predict that what we have here is pits. That's what we have. His Ema Shapidomi, maybe this is not considered Muktzah Nolad, and therefore you're allowed to use it for firewood. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda and Rav have to teach me that even the case of Garinim is considered Nolad because insofar as he's got complete edible Tmarim, the Garinim is not a separate entity, but it's part of the Ochel. V'yashminan Garinim, and even if we had the Chiddush of the case of the pits of the dates, and Rabbi Yehuda holds it's Nolad, I still would not know the status of Klipaos Egozim. Havamin, I would have said, as far as the shells, the Mikara Mechasyon, Vahashta Megalion, the only difference between the shells, before he ate the nuts, and the shells after he ate the nuts. Just one second. I'm sorry. In the case of the pits of dates, what I meant to say is there it's nolad because before it was covered, and now it's uncovered. So that's a nolad. That reveals something new. The pits weren't visible beforehand. Avol klipei goes to the meikar miglu. Is hashta miglu. What do we see on the outside of these walnuts? We see shells, so everything was revealed and not concealed. Emeshapeno, I would think that you're allowed to use the walnut shells as firewood, because this is not considered nolad tricha. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda Marav had to tell me this third chiddush, that even in the case of shells which are exposed to the eye, they're visible, nevertheless, it is considered nolad because initially it's part of one entity together with the nuts that are inside the shells, and we never defined the shells as a separate entity of firewood, that it wasn't prepared as firewood, and therefore it has the status of nolad. Now Rav Yehuda, the name of Rav, gives us these three scenarios of the machlokes as far as nolad is concerned. And the Gemara now is going to bring a statement of Rav that will prove to us that lo es kulam shom Rav Yehuda mi Rav, that not all of these three cases did Rav Yehuda actually hear from Rav. Rav Yehuda is a Talmud of Rav, but not all these three cases were heard by Rav Yehuda from Rav. V'had Rav, the statement that Rav Yehuda quotes with regard to the pits of dates, la beferish, he didn't hear it explicitly from Rav, he derived it by logical conclusion, michlolit mar means there was a story, and Rabbi Yehuda analyzed the story, and he came to the conclusion that Rav would hold that the pits of dates are nolad. Derav ochel tamri. Rav, on a weekday, ate dates. Ushda kashyasa lebuchya. Let's translate this first in the Hebrew and then in the English. Vizorak garinehem Likira Kidela Sika Bahen. Okay. So that means that in this case what Rav did was, after he ate dates on a weekday, he threw the pits into a kira, into an oven, and used them as fuel. Okay, that's the beginning of this episode, of this story. Then Amar le Rab Chia turns to Rav and he says, Bar Pachte, you have a great lineage, because Rav actually was a descendant of a long line, a skyline of Torah scholars. And he says, Kinegdo Biyontif Asur. He comments, and apparently Rav accepted this comment of Rabbi Chia, that if he would have done the same thing on Yontif, and after he ate the dates, he wants to use their pits as firewood, that would not be acceptable. And that would be because of Nolad. So Rabbi Yehuda knew of this Maisa, and he assumed that Rav, because he didn't disagree with Rabbi Chia, accepted Rabbi Chia, and therefore he mentioned in the name of Rav that to use the pits that remain from these dates as firewood on Yontif would be a violation of the Iser Nolad. Now the Gemara raises the following question. Kiblumine o lo kiblumine. Is it really true, as Rabbi Yehuda assumed, that Rav accepted the psak, the ora of Rabbi Chia? Maybe he rejected it. And maybe he would hold that the pits of dates are not considered nolad, because again, there was no change in the pits. It's not like the case of Shirei Kalim. It's the exact same pits that started before Yontif. And therefore the pits of these dates are not considered nolad. And we could say, therefore, kolshkein, in the case of shells over nuts, where there's an even less of a change, because they were exposed on the outside, certainly that would not be considered nolat. So the Gemara vacillates on this. Kibla minei, o lo kibla minei. Toshma, the Gemara now wants to prove that Rav never accepted Rabbi Chiya from the following Maisa Shahaya. The Chiyosa Rav Lebava, when Rav went to visit Bavel from Eretz Yisrael, Ochal Tamri, on a yontif he ate dates, Veshada Kashyosa Lechevasa, and he threw the pits to the animals. Now, if he threw the pits to the animals, then we see that these pits have the status of Royal Achilles Behema, and therefore it should not be Nolat. My love, Bifarsiyasa Velo Kibla. Farsiyasa is Miloshan Pars, Paras, which means Persian. Now, in the case of Persian dates, what we say is that the fruit does not cling to the pits. In other words, the pits are completely clean of any shirayim of the tamar, of the basar pri. And therefore, we would certainly say that the pits of these kinds of dates, again, these Persian dates, that are entirely clean of any fruit, they are considered to be nolat. Why? Why is that considered nolat? So let me read to you the Hebrew. He says, Tmarim armim she'ein misbashlim heitev, v'yaf achar achilas ha-tmarim, nishal agarina mi'at mi'bosar ha-pri, v'lachein tiltalam rav. Okay, so this is a little bit different than what we thought before. So before we get to the Dechiyah, the refutation of Armiyasa that we mentioned before about Armenian or Armenian dates, when we talk about Persian dates, which we said before, the Basar, the Tamar, is completely separate from the pits, and therefore the pits remain alone, separate from the Tamarim, and he can use it for Achilas Behema, not for Achilas Adam, and therefore it's royal tiltal. And that would mean that the very fact that Rav used these pits in the Persian dates for feeding his animals means that it's not called Nolat. And he never accepted the ruling of Rav Chiya that you're not allowed to be metal to the Gar'inim because of Nolat. So the Gemara says, lo. This is not a case of Persian dates, but rather by Armiyasa. Tmarim Armiyim. And since these dates do not ripen completely, it means that even after he eats the dates, there's still some shirayim of the tmarim that are still attached to the pits. He says, Nishal garina mi'at mi'bosa pri. That's why Rav was metaltul hol v'chazi agav imayu. In other words, since these pits are allowed to be moved agav because of the parts of the tamarim that are connected and cling to the dates, and that means that even the pits themselves, to some extent, are an ochel. There's no shinui here. It's not nolat. So we cannot prove from Rav that he rejected Rabbi Chiya. Could be very well that he would accept Rabbi Chiya in a case where the pits simply are, so to speak, nolad, where it doesn't have a shem ochel to it, and it's a whole brand new shinui. It's not roy at all for Achilas Adam, but in case of let's talk about the Armenian dates, that's when Rav permitted feeding it to the animals because there's still
a shem ochel on it. In the case of tamar and parsium, where there's nothing left, there's no vestige of any of the basar atamar, it could very well be that Rav accepted the ruling of Rav Chiya, and that's called, the garidim are called nolad. Now the Gemara asks a kasha on Rav Yehuda, who's matir hasokas kelim, but he prohibited shivrei kelim. Amale Rav Shmuel bar bar chana l'Rav Yosef l'Rav Yehuda d'yom masikim b'kelim masikim b'shivrei kelim. Why is it mutter to use a kli as fuel when it's a complete, total, whole kli? Came on the adlik v'upurta, the very moment that it starts burning is havi l'shivrei kelim. It loses its functionability as a kli once it begins to be burnt up. V'chipa mahapech. And when he turns over the shivrei kelim in the oven, because he wants to make sure that all parts of the shevra kli are serving as fuel, that the fire is coming from all parts, is bisuri kama hapich. Now he's touching something that's also betiltel when he turns over the kli, because shivrei kelim muktim machmas nolad. So even in the case of kelim shlemim, as soon as he starts the fire, it becomes nolad. So the Gemara answers that this permissibility to use the kelim, the full whole kelim, as fuel in the tanur, and then to turn it upside down, is in the following the following scenario. The avad kidrav matana, he does like Rav Matana, Rav Matana, Rav Eitzim shenashim in adekel litanur biyontif. So you have branches on a tree that fell on yontif itself. On Erev Yontif, they were connected to the day tree, and you're not allowed to use them for firewood on Yontif. It has the status of Muktzah, of Nolad, that's called Eitzim Shenashu Min HaDekel, Marbe Eitzim Muchanim U'Masikon. We're not going to allow you to burn those branches of wood that came off the tree, fell off the tree on Yontif, because that's considered nolad. However, what we allow you to do is to add logs that you had prepared that had already been cut before Yontif, and they are muchanim lasaka, and you could be mevatel them berov umasikon. The Gemara has a whole discussion about this at the beginning of Beitzah. We have a principle called osel levatel iser lechatchila, and the Gemara answers that in isur drabanan mutel levatel iser lechatchila. The Gemara then asks, well, wait a minute, isn't this a case where Dovashesh Matirim and Bittul doesn't work? And the answer is, right, and the Gemara's Kash is built on the premise that tomorrow after Yontif it's Mutter, it's no longer Muktzah, so it's a Dovashesh Matirim. And the Gemara answers that came on since the Ikar HaNomea Eitzimim Liachash and Nisrafu, the benefit he gets is after it's burnt, is therefore Chachamim weren't Machmir and they didn't prohibit Bittul. Now, what the Gemara is telling us, that in our sugya, when Rav Matana allows this bittul, then when he uses this kli shalem for fuel and puts it into the oven and he starts burning it, then marba olav kodem asaka eitzim muchanim sheinim muktzin. What he's going to have to do is, this is the condition in which we allow him to use a kli shalem as firewood, is only if he adds to the fire other pieces of wood, eitzim, she'enam muktzim. And then you could be mevatel, what we call heter beheter. And that's not considered a violation of ein mevatlin isur lechatchila. Now the Gemara goes back to the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah. In the case of Beged Shekipla Lipsila Velo of Hava, so he folded the cloth but he didn't char it. And the Gemara is going to quote a statement of Rav Hemnuna. Now let's just review. According to Rav Ada Bar Rava that we had on Chav Ches Amid Beis, the machlokas is with regard to Tumah, and as machlokas with regard to Ner Shabbos. Rava says that the machlokas, as far as Adlokas Neros on Shabbos, is an issue of the viability of these wicks that haven't been charred yet to hold on to the fire. and what they disqualified. Rav Hemnuna is going to come up with an entirely different approach to the machlokes as far as Tumah Vitara. As far as the machlokes Vadlokes Ner B'Psila Zu, Rav Hemnuna could accept the sheet of Rava. And the machlokes is whether you could use this Psila that's not been charred, Eina Mechurachas, for Adlokes Ner Shabbos. But as far as Tumah is concerned, here's where Rav Hemnuna comes up with a novel approach. And let's go over the shear of a beged, the minimum size of beged that has chashivus, which we said is sholosh al sholosh etzbos. Now, what are you going to do with such a small cloth? So if you're a poor person, then you could use it as a patch to cover holes in your beged. As far as an usher is concerned, a wealthy person, the shear of a beged, the minimum size of a beged is shlosh al shlosh tfachim, as we discussed the great length. Now, as far as tumas mes is concerned, or other tumas, okay, there's an exception in the case of tumas midras, but that's not for us, then a beged is makabel tuma when it's shlosh al shlosh. We don't need three tfachim by three tfachim. It's enough to have three etzbos on three etzbos, much smaller size of the beged, because it's fit for an ani to use as a patch. But that's only in the, that's a, really a beged that's suitable for an ani and not for an ashir. And was he miyached this beged for that use as a patch? And that, even though that use is not considered chashuv, then yichud, meaning designated, that's enough. There are going to be situations in which his machshava, if he wants to dedicate it for a certain use, is batel, and therefore it's not makabel tuma. Again, all this will become clearer in Mirtz Hashem as we go through the sugya. Rav Hemnuna says the following. What's that case of our Mishnah? Rav Huna Rahachin, our Mishnah, Bipochos Mishlosha al Shlosha, it's less than three tfachim on three tfachim askinon. Umikule Matlonios Shanukan. In other words, he created this wick from Shmatis, from Smartutim, which are not considered Choshev in his eyes. And in this case, miuchadim lepikpuk merchatz. The Gemara says you can use it to stop up a hole. That's called matlonios. But these shmatas in and of themselves are not considered chashuvos. And if they're not chashuvos, they don't have a shame kli. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says that. Let's just see. According to Rabbi Eliezer, we're going to say that even though it's not chashuvos, nevertheless, these matlonios, according to Rabbi Eliezer, are makabel tuma, as we'll explain. And Rabbi Akiva says they're not makabel tuma. Again, according to this understanding of Rav Hemnuna, we're not going to make a distinction between kipel es hamatlonios or lo kibel, kipel es hamatlonios. The Mishnah only mentions psila shekipla in order to introduce the machlokas as far as Ner Shabbos is concerned. Are you allowed to use the psila that wasn't charred for Ner Shabbos? But as far as Tumah Tara is concerned, there's absolutely no difference between kipla or lo kipla. The Azda, Rabbi Eliezer Litameh, Rabbi Akiva Litameh. And Rav Hemnuna presents an original machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Our mission is just an application of that machlokes. This nan, at the end of Masechta Kelim, it says, Orig, he has a piece of cloth. Pachos mishlosh al shlosha tfachim. Sheskino, that's called yichud. He designated it for a certain purpose, certain use. Lifkok bo es hammerchatz. So in the bathhouses of ancient times, they had these holes, and the water would come into the bath from these holes. And at some point, he wanted to plug up these holes because there was enough water in the bath. There's no need to draw more water. And he designated this
very small cloth as a pekak to list omes hanekovim. Or another possible scenario, he designated the lenarbos hakdera. In other words, he's going to hold a kdera. He needs a like a glove, a pot holder. In other words, he can't hold on to the yad of the very hot pot. So you need something over your hand, some sort of cloth to protect you from not getting burned. Or alternatively, lekanech boas harichaim. He has a millstone and he wants to wipe it clean, and afterwards he stores it away for some other use. And now we get to Rabbi Eliezer's view in all the above cases. Bein min amuchan, ubein she'ena min amuchan, tamei. This shmata is makabel tuma. Why? Because he uses it not just on a one-time basis, but apparently he puts it aside for future use as well. That makes it significant as a beged. And he says here, Bein min amuchan, bein she'eno min amuchan, which means the following. This cloth is min amuchan, means it's prepared, and he hides it away for use, he puts it away. Ubein she'eno min amuchan. Okay, we'll talk about that a little bit later. It says, Rabbi Eliezer, the arig is tum, it's makabel tuma. And even though he designated for some use which is not considered chashuv, that's not going to be mevatel, that's not going to cancel the Torah's beged, and it still has a Torah's beged. Now, arig is not royal kabel tuma b'Torah's beged. For that, we would talk about a shir of gimel al gimel etzbos, but rather machmas shemeshamesh l'tashmishim kalim elu, that it's designated for these various usages. Right? But what we're saying is that if he designates for these usages, so these various usages, which we call tashmishim kalim, they're sort of secondary and significant, would not in and of themselves be sufficient to generate a shame beged, a Torah's beged. But the issue here is whether or not, on the contrary, designating the cloth for these secondary insignificant tashmishim would be mafkia the shame beged. In other words, the original shame beged is you attach it to a beged, like for example a patch. But now that you designate it for these secondary usages, which in and of themselves would not be enough to generate a shame beged, maybe that itself is mafkia, it undermines the shame beged. Or shall we say, on the contrary, he could always change his mind and he could use it for a patch. So here we have a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer, who says that in all these cases, the yichud for this secondary kind of tashmish is not mafki, it doesn't undermine the shame beged. As we said before, he can always change his mind and use it as a patch, tloy begodin. And therefore, even though he designated all these things for secondary uses, they still are makabel tuma. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, bein min amuchan, bein shalom min amuchan, tahar. In other words, once he designates it for this, what we call tashmish kal she'eino chashuv, for this secondary kind of use, then batel toras beged, and therefore it's not makabel tuma. Now again, as we said over and over again, a beged of sholosh al sholosh that's bottles is considered chashuv makabel tuma because it's roi for an ani to use it as tloy
as a patch on his beged. Now that he designates this 3x3 etzbos cloth for a tashmishenu choshuv, it's not omed, it doesn't lend itself, so to speak, it's not designated for tloy, for a patch. And therefore, says Rabbi Yeshua, the shame beged is batel, is gone, and therefore it's not makabel tumah. Rabbi Kiva omer min amuchan tameh, shalom min amuchan tar. Min amuchan is tameh, because then it's not batel shame beged. Shalom min amuchan is tar, because it's batel shame beged. So now, what does this mean? What's muchan, and what's shalom min amuchan? And that's what the Gemara is going to try to explain. And now we'll get down to the brass tacks of this Machlokas Tanoim, and then come back to the Machlokas in our Mishnah about Psila Shekipla Velo with Hava. Omar Ula, Vitema Rabba Bar Bachan, Omar Biochanan, Hakol Modim, all the Tanoim agree that Zarko, which means that if he throws away this this cloth, the Ashba, Divya called Tar. In other words, if he does this objective act and he throws it into the rubbish, then that certainly indicates that it's no longer in his eyes a beged, and certainly batel mimenu shem kli, and kuliyamal pligi, it's a davar pashut that it's not makabel tuma. Now Ula continues, we'll turn to daf chav tesamid beis, and he says hinicho bekufsa is divrei hakol tameh. If he takes it after he used it, let's say, for example, as a plug for the merchatz, he puts it away, and he locks it under a key, then certainly everybody agrees that it's makabel tuma, because the very fact that he puts it in this kufsa, he puts it in this box, he has revealed his intention that he still wants this beged, this piece of cloth, and if he needs it as a patch, that's what he's going to do with it. So he's saving it as a patch for a rip in his clothes. And even though he had designated as a tashmish garua, as a secondary use, lo batel mimenu beged. So where is now the machloka? It says, ula lo nechleku ela shetlo'o b'mogod. Mogod is a peg that, you know, that you hang things on in your house. You know, it's attached to the wall. And he hung it up there, Oshe Hinicho Leachori Adeles, and he put it behind his door. And these places are, on the one hand, a little bit more significant than throwing it in a rubbish bin. Obviously, he still indicates he might want to use it, but it's not the same level as putting it into a kufsa. Right, so this mogod, which, as we said before, some sort of peg in the wall of his house, it's on a higher level than Achorei Adeles. Achorei Adeles, you know, it's almost like throwing it on the floor, so to speak. So these different places is Nutluk Shetzarach L'Tashmisho. He's going to take it from these places if he needs it. And here is where we get to the Machlokes Tanoim here, in the case of Munach b'Magud or Munach b'Achorei Adeles. Rabbi Elazar Savar, Midalo Zarko, from the fact that he didn't throw it into the Ashpa, into the rubbish bin, is Muchach, we see clearly, the Daite Iluye, that it's still considered Choshev B'Einov, he still might come to use it, and he'll change his mind, he might use it as a patch for a beged. And therefore, says Rabbi Eliezer, even though at this moment he designates it for Tashmish Garua, for some sort of secondary use, but it still retains its shame beged, and it's Makabel Tuma. And when Rabbi Elazar says, Bein min amuchan ubein she'eino min amuchan, Tamei, min amuchan is referring to Munach b'kufsa, where clearly, and all the Tanoim agree that if he locks it up for future use in a box, then certainly it's not batel toras beged. He still is machshiv the beged. But shalom min amuchan, that's referring to the case of toli b'magud or munach achori adeles. Umay korile, why does Rabbi Eliezer use this term to describe this cloth in the case of b'magud or achori adeles as shalom min amuchan? He means that even though in his mind, these places where he put down the cloth are chashuvim, but as far and therefore, as far as Kabbalah's tumah is concerned on the beged, it still remains a beged, but to legabi relative to the kufts alav muchanhu, it would not be considered muchan relative to the kufts. So, but nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer says it still retains its shem beged because these makomos where he place the cloth are considered chashuvim bi'enov, and they're sufficient to maintain and retain the shame beged. Rabbi Yeshua Savar, Rabbi Yeshua holds that both in the case of Tala'o b'magud or Hinicho Achori Adeles, Midalo Hinichu b'kufza, for the fact that he didn't lock it up in some sort of a box, indicates that Bitule Batle, he's really not interested in using it any furthermore as a beged, because he designated it for a tashmish she'eno chashuv, for tashmish garua, something secondary, and he placed it in a location that's eno chashuv. So therefore, we don't assume the possibility that he might change his mind and use it as a patch for his beged, and therefore it's not makabel tumah. And when Rabbi Yeshua says bein min amuchan bein shelo min amuchan tahar, min amuchan means magud or me'achori adel, shelo min amuchan means the ashpa, when he throws it into the rubbish bin. Umay kari le muchan, why does Rabbi Yeshua call placing it in on this peg or behind his door muchan, when Rabbi Yeshua himself says that a beggar that's put in those places is batel, Mishem Beged, it's not Makabel Tumah, and that's the relativity, the Lagabe Ashpa, relative to the Ashpa, which Rabbi Yeshua mentions as Shalomina Muchan, it's Muchan, and yet it's still Tar, it's not Makabel Tumah. Rabbi Akiva has the middle, shall we say, compromise Shita, Bislob Magud, he's going to differentiate between these two places. If he hangs it up on a peg, is Savak Rabbi Eliezer, he agrees with Rabbi Eliezer that the fact that he didn't throw it into the rubbish bin means that it's Choshev Bienov, he considers it Choshev. And he may in fact change his mind and use it as a patch. And therefore it's not Batul Mitoras Beged. And it's and forget about the fact that he designated it for a Tashmish Garua, and it would be Makabel Tumah, but Binicho Achori Adeles, that's even one notch lower in its Chashivas than Magud, is Savalok Rabbi Yeshua. Here he accepts the Shita Rabbi Yeshua, that since he didn't put it, lock it up in a Kufso, he didn't even put it in a Magud, and hang it on his peg, then the Beged is obviously not Chashiv Bi'enov, and he was miyachid it for a tashmish sheino chashuv. He put it in a place which is secondary, or 30, it's number 3 on the list, right? And it's therefore not chashuv bi'enov. We don't assume that he'll change his mind and use it as a patch, and it's batel mishem beged, and it's not makabel tumah. And then what Rabbi Akiva said, min amuchan is tameh v'shlo min amuchan tar. Min amuchan means if he put it in the magud, he hung it up on his peg. Shalom min amuchan means he threw it on the other side of the door. And here Rabbi Akiva is going to differentiate between these two cases as to whether or not he was mafkia the shame beget. And now Rav Hamnuna comes back to interpret our machlokas and our Mishnah in the light of the machlokas in the Mishnah in Kalim. And Rav Hamnuna says the following: V'hadar bei Rabbi Akiva legabei de Rabbi Yeshua. Now Rabbi Akiva changes his mind, and now Mishnah accepts Rabbi Yeshua shita hook, line, and sinker. That if he didn't put it into a kufsa, and he designated for a tashmish garua, it's batul mitoras beged. It's not makabel tumah, and that's true even in the case we put it on a magut. And this is the machlokes in our Mishnah. This is the machlokes in our Mishnah. We're talking about a beged that he placed, hanging it on a magud, on a peg outside his wall in his house, or he threw it behind the door. and he designated for some sort of tashmish garua, and then afterwards, kiplo, he folded it in order to use it as a wick. So Rabbi Elazar says in our Mishnah, it's mekabel tuma, just like he says in the Mishnah in Kalim, that if he put it away and he didn't throw it into the rubbish bin, then despite the fact that he had designated for a secondary use, it still retains its shame, beggars mekabel tuma. Rabbi Kiva holds l'shitaso, once he rescinded, he changed his mind on his original opinion, he accepted the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, it's not mekabel tuma. And the Gemara now asks the following question, Mimai, how do we know, how does Rav Hamnuna know that Rabbi Akiva was chozer bo, and he accepted the view of Rabbi Yeshua? Maybe it's possible to say that he still maintains his view as formulated in the Mishnah in Kalim, and only in the case of Hinichu Achori Adels, where he threw it behind the door, then it's batel mitoras begid, then it's no longer mekabel tum, it's tar. And our Mishnah is talking about a case of Inicho Lachori Adeles Amar Rava. Rava says, we can read our Mishnah carefully, and it says in our Mishnah, Psilas HaBeged Shekipla Mai Irya Detani. Why does our Mishnah mention Dafka the case of Psilas HaBeged, which implies that he folded this Beged itself when it was Shalem, and it still has the status of a beged, even after he folds it, is listeni, the Mishnah could have said psila shel beged, not psilas ha beged, but psila shel beged, which would imply that he took the beged and he designated it as a wick, and he changed it, he folded it. That's called psila shel beged. And now it's no longer beged, and it's not choshev b'einov. My, what does the Mishnah mean when it says psilas ha beged, the adayin beged hu? So our Mishnah states a wick made of garment. And Rava's question is, why did the Mishnah teach us a wick made of garment, quote-unquote? Let the Mishnah teach us a wick made from garment material. And it should have said psila shel beged. Why does the Mishnah use the term psilas habeged, a wick made of a garment, that dayin beged, to indicate that this wick still is legally defined al pidin as a garment? It still has a shame beged to it, even though it was hung on a peg. So again, in the case of a cloth that was placed behind the door, it's also considered a beged of some sort. The Mishnah is therefore dealing clearly with a cloth that was hung on a peg, and it cites Rabbi Eliezer. He doesn't differentiate between these two sorts of cloth. In both cases, they have the shame beged and the mekabel tuma. Then Rabbi Akiva, who disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer, he also must be referring to a case where he's using this piece of cloth for one of two things. Either he's using it by placing it behind the door, or he's using it by placing it on a peg, and he's hanging it up. So in both cases, Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer, and in both cases, since Rabbi Eliezer was referring to both sorts of cloth, and both are susceptible to Tumah, Rabbi Akiva must be disagreeing and holding that in both cases, it is susceptible to Kabbalah's Tumah. And in the Mishnah in Kalim that we cited earlier, there he made a differentiation between a Shmata that was placed behind the door, which is not Makabal Tumah, but as opposed to a Shmata which was held on a peg. Apparently he rescinded his original position, and now he accepted Rabbi Yeshua's position. He retracted his original ruling, and he accepted Rabbi Yeshua's position, and in both cases, he was Mafkia the Shem Beged, because he didn't lock it up in a Kufsa. Let's just give a summary of what we studied today on Chaf Tesam and Aleph, Rav Adi Bar Rava understands that the machlokas, as far as Ner Shabbos is concerned, in this case, where he uses a wick that's made of cloth, that's exactly 3 by 3, is an issue regarding nolad, regarding mukta, because as soon as he starts lighting the wick, even before he gets to rov psila, at this point already it loses its shame, kli, and therefore it's asur b'toras nolad, and that's the shita of Eliezer. Rabbi Kiva holds that no, if you already folded it before yontif, you've already changed its status from that of a beged to that of a wick, and therefore it's not nolad when he completes the lighting process. But Rav and Rav Hamnuna, they understood the machlokas regarding Shabbos is an uncharred wick, whether or not it's disqualified for Ner Shabbos because it doesn't hold the flame. Then we have a machlokas linyan tuma, according to Rav Ada Bar Ava and Rav. The machlokas with regard to tuma is focused on a folded cloth into a wick. Does that remove its shame beged? Rabbi Lezer holds that the folding is not a negation of the shame beged because he could always change his mind and unfold it. Rabbi Kiva says once he folded it, then he changed the status of the designation of this cloth as a garment. It's now a wick, and therefore the shame beged is gone, and therefore it cannot be mekabel tum, it's tar. And then we get to Rav Hamnuna. He holds that the machlokes with regard to tumah v'tara and whether or not this wick is mekabel tumah is in the case of a shmata that measures gimel gimel etzbos, or for example shlosha al shlosha tfachim. And what happens is if he designates this patch, so to speak, for an insignificant secondary tashmishka rua, that itself would seem to indicate that it's no longer being designated as a tloy beged, and it loses its shame beged. But what does he do with it after he designates it, for example, to plug up the holes of the merchatz? If he places it behind his door, or he hangs it up on a peg for future use, Rabbi Lezer holds that these indications tell us that he is machshiv the shmat, he wants to use it again and again, and therefore it retains its status as a beged, and therefore it's mekabel tumah. Rabbi Kiva holds that these actions don't indicate anything, as he didn't lock it up in a kufsa, and therefore, like Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Kiva holds that he was mafkia the shame beged when he designated for an insignificant use, and therefore it's tar and it's not mekabel tumah. So this is where we're going to stop for now. And Amir Shem, in the next shir, we'll start with the Mishnah on Daf Chavtes Amid Beis. And Amir Shem, we hope to get into the sugya of Dovashenu Meskavim, Melach Shem Tzvich Legufa, here on Chavtes Amid Beis.